Hello, New York City. It's 12 noon on December 5th, and we are live back in the studios. You're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Ori Givens. Coming up on the program, did you watch History this weekend or this past week where we saw the most black people live on television, I think, ever in history? So we're going to talk about The Wiz and what it meant for our community. Plus, we're commemorating World AIDS Day this month. And the hosts are going to discuss their perspectives live on the air. It's all new and it's all queer. Join us for Queer State of Mind starting right now on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Live from Bushwick, Brooklyn in New York City, this is Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. Powered by the Queer Minded Radio Network. With Ori, Seydou, Justin, and Teron. Join the conversation and tell us how you feel on Twitter at QSOMNYC, on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind, or send us a text or voice message to 917-472-1224 using the keyword QSOM. That's 917-472-1224, keyword QSOM. Now it's time to get into a queer state of mind with this week's brunch tea segment, live only on Radio Free Brooklyn.
All right. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Queer State of Mind. My name's Ori Givens, and I'm joined in the studio by some fabulous people. Hey.
Hey.
We have Justin on deck. How you doing, Justin?
What's up, Beb?
And we have Miss Chinwey join us. Hey.
Hey.
Giving some, like, Erykah Badu realness right now. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Oh, my gosh. So we've been on break for a little bit. We was gone for a minute. Now we back. It is December 5th. It is noon Eastern, noon 02. And we are live in Bushwick, Brooklyn at the Velo Brooklyn Bike Shop. So, hey, guys.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. So what has been going on? How was y'all holiday? We just got back from Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago, last week, something like that. I don't even remember.
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We went to Ohio.
Yes, we did.
Visited the great state of Ohio.
Ohio.
And remembered why we moved to New York. Ooh, sorry. Love you guys. What'd you do for the holiday show? Right? Oh, yes, the shade belt. Because you might not have heard our last recorded episode because of some things. You don't know about the shade belt, so we're going to tell you about the shade belt later on the show. What was your holiday, Chinwey?
It was pretty gnarly. We had a Friendsgiving, me and a group of friends, and it pretty much took me out for the whole weekend. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't, like, all the food and all the drinks.
Oh, man. I, like, cooked. And so I got in on early Wednesday. And I'm, like, messaging my family, messaging my brother, my mom, like, what's going on? Because I'm, like, if I'm going to have to go down in the kitchen, like, let me get to the store. Let me get the stuff ready. Let me get my pies on deck, you know.
Right.
So everybody's like, oh, no, it's fine. We just going blah, 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 blah. So I'm thinking everything's ready to go. No. I get over to my mom's house. She's handing me bags of stuff. Like, we got to go to the grocery store, get this, this, and this. I was cooking from, like, 11 to, like, 9 at night. But don't you know that food was on point?
I should hope so.
That food was on point. I mean, but afterwards, I couldn't do nothing.
Did you put hate in your food?
Not only love, only love.
No, you're a New Yorker now. You put hate in your food.
Hate and disdain.
Like, fuck these people.
Sadness and demand. But no, it was a good holiday.
Not
it was
on
good
weed.
To be back home. We did roast a lamb, like a leg of lamb.
Oh, did you make lamb?
On a rotisserie.
You made lamb.
We made lamb. What? You know, it meat? Okay, we make lamb.
We make lamb.
All right. So you guys had a Friendsgiving. That's like a thing that we do. We did it back in Columbus, too, but it's a really big thing in New York City.
Yeah. Because, like, no one has families out in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so, yeah, me and a whole bunch of friends that were still in the city, we all got together. We all made food and, I don't know, it was just a really good time. At first, I was kind of nervous because I didn't know how many people were coming. And we invited a group of people, but we had a good group. We had a lot of food, a lot of alcohol.
Those are the keys.
And
if
honestly,
you got a lot of food and
really
alcohol,
it
it's
going to
be good.
We had a lot of other things that helped us enjoy the food.
Yes.
I don't know if I can say, but yeah, it was a really good time, so.
Well, that's good. I think it's no matter where you're spending it or who you're spending it with, I think that's the most important part is that you have good people, you have good friends, you got some good drinks and good foods. Like, ain't nothing like going to a Thanksgiving with bad food.
Like, I mean, that's a Thanksgiving you'll remember because it's like, you was the person that brought the bad potato salad. Like,
right?
I think,
That's, and it's, I mean, like, I've not, usually, like, people throw down on Thanksgiving. Like, it hasn't happened very often, but occasionally you get some person that brings something, and then you're just like, oh, thank you for bringing this. And you look at it, and you're like, I don't want this to, like, ruin my food. Like, I don't
want to. Right, like, some experimental dish that you was trying in the kitchen.
Right.
You don't do that. You don't bring experimental dishes on the holidays.
No, absolutely. No, that's a rule. Like, you don't bring, and you're supposed to bring your best, like, your A game. Like,
if you know. Not even your A game. Just bring something that people, you know, that people are going to enjoy.
Absolutely. But I think people don't necessarily, like, they want to, you know, they want to try it. They want to try things. I've definitely been adventurous, but I also have a level of cooking ability that my adventures usually turn out well.
Really? This is what we're doing now?
You know, ooh,
is this what we're doing?
I don't know. What are we doing?
Are we? Okay.
I was just saying.
You know, you better roll your horn, Gabriel, honey.
I was just saying, like, don't get me wrong. I've screwed up, but usually my screw-ups are even good. But anyway, moving on. Last show, we talked about James Wright. Y'all remember him? He was the one that made the viral video that skyrocketed Patty's Pies. Well, I guess he's now getting his due because now they're saying that he and Patty are going to do a cooking show on the Cooking Channel.
So is it going to be like a full show? I was under the impression it was just going to be like a special.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be like a show or a special. Like, I just know that they're doing something together, and I think that's pretty interesting. We'll see. Hopefully he gets some coin out of it because, you know, she definitely made her millions.
Well, you know, and that book is like the Bible of, like, people with sugar.
Yeah.
Every black family has that. LaBelle Cuisine.
I don't think I don't know if
Does
I
have anyone in your family have sugar?
Yeah.
That's why.
I see. Oh, no, people do. No. Yeah, actually, I'm going to have to ask. Yeah.
Like, I have
it's
seen
probably
that,
around here
I have
somewhere.
Seen that book in so many black houses. Like, it's like the Bible and LaBelle Cuisine, like that purple binder. Because she knows exactly what I'm talking about, too. Look at her.
The look on her, she just busted out laughing right here, y'all. It's hilarious.
Because we didn't have it in my house, but I have seen it. So I'm like, oh, God, that's what it was.
I don't know.
It's like when you go to your intellectual friend's house and y'all have a copy of Black Skin, White Mask.
Shut up. I'm not even going down that road. I'm not. So did anybody try the pie? I didn't get to try. I was not finna go to no Walmart. No time
Absolutely
around
not.
No Thanksgiving.
I, mean,
I don't like sweet potato pie. Yeah, I said it.
Ooh. Huh. What?
Yeah. I said I don't like.
Do you like pumpkin instead?
No, I do not like pumpkin pie either.
Well, what do you eat at Thanksgiving then, pecan?
Lemon meringue.
Bitch.
It's delicious, okay?
No.
Don't come for me. No. My lemon meringue pie. That my Aunt Dora makes, all right? So you know it's good.
My mom likes meringue pies. The egg, the thingy at the top, like, it's not enough for me. I don't know. Just put some whipped cream on it. I'll be good. I'm surprised you ain't rang the bell. Right?
Honey, tain't no big thing to wait for the bell to ring.
Ooh, you silly. All right, so we gonna look out for your cooking show, Patty and James. Hopefully you make some good stuff. I'm excited, kind of. I don't even know where the Cooking Channel is.
Well,
I've never watched it.
It's like on the top tier.
It's high digi. It's high digi.
It's like Scripps Network. I call it like the Brooklyn Cooking Channel.
Oh.
That's what it feels like. It's a bunch of like youngish cooking shows.
Oh, it's like hipster cooking?
Ish.
Oh.
But Korean Food Made Easy goes in and Chinese Made Easy is... Yeah, Ching Hing Hong, because she showed up with her British accent and her walk.
I'm for it.
I'm here with some fillet.
Yes. Fillet.
Like, when she showed up with a walk. This bitch just showed up with a walk. Like, she is everything.
I've never seen it. I don't even really like the Food Network, because I think it's all really kitschy stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, if I'm going to get my cooking life on TV, then I watch Create on PBS.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
with
absolutely.
Lydia and, like, Martha Stewart.
Or America's Test Kitchen.
Yeah, I love America's Test Kitchen. That gives you everything.
He's a bitter fag, and
he
I live
is.
For her.
He, like, and she just lets you know, like, just has no cares about anything. Just no fuss. Like,
she's
don't
old.
Work.
She's like, look. Your stuff is going to be dry. I can see that.
Well, and they look at everything in such a, like, scientific and precise way. Like, and you come away having learned so much about cooking. Like, oh, I didn't know that if I did this just 5 minutes earlier, like, my cake would rise, like, more. You know, it's just, there's so much little bits of information that you
audience,
get.
Huh? And that helps.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What, have you ever seen, I don't want to get too far on topic, but have you ever seen, what is that woman? There is a woman, she usually came on, like, right after Lydia, who I think is amazing, like, Lydia Bastianich, she's, like, this Italian woman that does a bunch of shows, and her son now does a bunch of shows, but it was just very interesting to watch, because she was always, like, I don't know if she had drank before the show or what, or she was drinking some of her wine, but she was like Italian cooking too, but it wasn't as good. So it's like, why would you, you're just after Lydia and you're not as good.
It's not Nigella.
Huh?
It's not Nigella.
No, not Nigella. No, somebody else. He's like an older lady.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to end on this topic because, you know, I don't want to give him too much attention, but we should talk about it. There was a protest while I was not in the city, unfortunately, at the Atlan Missionary Baptist Church. Missionary Baptist Church?
Missionary Church.
Oh,
I
live
for him. Oh, he
yes,
is.
Yes, Pastor James
he
Manning.
He is hilarious.
He doesn't really like us queers too much.
It's hilarious.
He's the guy that thought that, he thought that Starbucks was filled with semen.
That guy.
Oh, he is amazing. He cracked me up.
There's all kinds of videos with him, like, talking about queer people. He used to be incarcerated, and I don't know, maybe he had some interesting, I don't know.
Did he get a bad touching or something?
I don't want to speculate, but he has some venom. So he's now the pastor of this church.
Let it out.
Lots of hate. And he's going around doing all these interviews and stuff like that. But anyway, recently, he just released a video where he's endorsing presidential candidate hopeful Donald Trump. Let's just take a moment for that.
It's all performance.
Like, on with the show.
His hatred has become, it's camp now. Yeah. It's so out there.
Like, how do you, I mean, because when I heard this whole thing about Donald Trump talking with black pastors, whatever, I was like, this is absolutely a joke. This has to be farce. Like, there's no way that this can be real. And I'm hearing this, and I'm like, oh, this must be a joke. Like, Donald Trump's whole campaign is just a big, elaborate stunt to maybe expose something. I don't know what it is, but this is just another notch on that belt. Just like,
we've been talking about for the past, like, year or so, like, is he a plant? Like, he's a plant by the Democratic Party? Like, what's happening?
Right,
like, this is just too crazy. But, you know, it's really seeming like he does really think he's going to try to be president. Like, I don't, it's just so out of the, like, realm of, like, even what I can comprehend that I'm just not willing
to. That's the
point. I'm not willing to give it any credence, but, like, we need to seriously start thinking about this now.
Right.
We need to talk about Kevin. We really do.
Kevin?
You ever seen a movie, We Need to Talk About Kevin?
Uh-uh. Put that on the list. We need to talk about Kevin. I'm getting some eyes, so there must be something good up in this movie. So, yeah, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. He's growing in the polls. Like, people are actually listening to him. He's saying all this off-the-wall shit. It's like, let me think of the most off-the-wall thing I can say, and then he's going to say it, and then everybody's going to be like, that's awesome. And then I'm just like, I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Right,
so,
it's like people are just don't completely see nuance whenever they hear a point that Donald Trump makes. Like, he makes a very blanket statement, and people refuse to sit there and just, like, digest and marinate on it to understand what it is that he's saying and how problematic it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh, my goodness, great, let's
People are, but there's definitely a subset of people that just don't care. Like, they like the rhetoric. They like hearing what he has to say.
Oh, they're like Beyonce fans.
Oh, yeah, they just don't care.
They just don't
all
care.
The bad of Beyonce. Yeah, not that Beyonce does anything bad necessarily.
But still,
yeah,
it's like, she's amazing.
She could kill ponies, and they'd be like, but those ponies deserve to
those
die.
Those ponies were slaves.
Right. All right. Well, that's all the time we got for brunch tea. I can't talk about Donald Trump anymore. But we'll be back in just a moment with more fun queerness on Queer State of Mind right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to Queer State of Mind, New York City's home for queer people of color to gather and talk. Stay connected with all the tea and more. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind and follow us on Twitter at QSOMNYC.
Guys, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Queer State of Mind, and it is time for Stay in Your Lane. And the hosts say they got a whole bunch of stuff for Stay in Your Lane. My first one, you know, this is kind of a Wiz-themed episode, if you will.
Yes,
and yes, ease. And so we are going to be featuring some music from The Wiz. But one of the things that came from The Wiz being on the air this week was that not everyone was happy about the all-black cast. Now, you may know that The Wiz was historically a black cast. It was a musical movie that was produced in the 70s, and it starred some of the biggest, you know, black stars of the time. It was produced by black people in the age, and it was at a time when there weren't a lot of opportunities for black people on stage and screen. So it's really funny to hear tweets like, how can we be mad at Gods of Egypt for white actors playing African characters when The Wiz is black cast playing whites? Double standard? Or, so all black cast, diverse, but all white cast would be racist? Gotcha. Wouldn't cross the street to Wiz on The Wiz. Yeah, so...
You just gotta have to appreciate,
you know,
the fact that people tried the way that they
people did try it. People did try it. They tried it really hard. And the clapback was so fierce on the internet.
Or, you know, is oppressed minority the new hipster thing now?
I guess.
Is that what people want to be now?
They do. Like, it's like we have just...
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've been doing it for so long, and we still manage to be fabulous. So they just like, oh, it must not be that bad. Let me go hip again. No, it don't work like that.
No, darling, no.
It does not work like this.
And they try... They tried it. White people tears.
Oh, the tears were just flowing. Like, it was like the Nile, the river of the Nile, just flowing through.
Speaking of gods of Egypt.
But, you know, I think it's interesting that, one, you know, I think a lot of people, especially kind of in our age range, we have so much information at our fingertips that we take it for granted. Like, you could easily Google The Wiz and get all the history. Like, you could look at the Wikipedia. But no, you can just spout off, like, 140 characters of nonsense. And then it's just like, well, you know, I don't have to be accountable for the information. It's so interesting how people are just so quick to just say anything.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's a whole generational thing. Because I remember growing up, The Wizard of Oz came on yearly. That was event television. Like, before a VHS. And
that's why
cable.
I can't stand that movie.
I still love it. It's still one of my favorites. But in black households, when The Wiz came on, the local Fox Channel, the affiliate.
At what? At 10 or at 9 p.m.
Or
like a Sunday or Tuesday.
Right, like 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. The Saturday afternoon black hours. Yes.
Thank you. Because they had to compete with Soul Train.
This was a thing. No, you are right about that. I forgot that they used to have black programming on
and
in the afternoons.
A generational thing. It's like, if you grew up knowing what that was, it's like, I think The Wiz was responsible for a certain section of gay men the way Dreamgirls was.
Probably.
It's like, ooh, I'm gay. What happened? I saw Dreamgirls.
And we'll talk about how gay this production of The Wiz was later on. But that's who I've got for a stay on the lane. So I'm going to tell all those white folks that, and black folks, because it wasn't just white folks, the people of color too, that didn't know, that wanted to put that out there on Twitter, you better ask somebody. Y'all go ahead and... All right. So, Justin, who you want to stay in their lane?
The good people at CNN.
Ooh, yes.
And the good people at the 30 Rock at the local MSNBC.
Preach on it. Why?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to bring out 1 Thessalonians 12 and 14, but... no, y'all know better. Y'all don't go up in somebody's house like that. Like, I understand... You're on a 24-hour news cycle, and you can't compete with the bombast of Fox News. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand ratings drive everything. But damn, have some fucking decorum.
So if those of you that don't know, as one of the big stories that's been in the news is the shooting that happened in San Bernardino. And there were two gunmen.
Our thoughts are out there.
Absolutely.
With and the people in San Bernardino.
We know that there were two... gunmen who are no longer alive, a couple, as it's been reported. And several news outlets, but two specific news outlets are catching a lot of flack for going into the accused's apartment live on the air and basically scavenger hunting for, I don't know, whatever. They were just looking through, rummaging through these people's belongings live on the air. So the question in, like, journal circles is, one, should you, as a reporter, go into this crime scene, which ostensibly, you're probably not supposed to be in.
It was still an active crime scene.
But there are conflicting reports on who cleared the crime scene, because it was a local jurisdiction, then it had FBI jurisdiction, and then so, you know, that's there's
somebody
a little,
got paid.
Yeah, there's
but
a
I mean,
complicating
even
there.
Still, like, as a news organization or just as a normal human thinking human being, mm-hmm. you would think that if this is the scene of an investigation, you don't just take yourself in there and do what you will.
You have no idea what you're going to find.
Like you don't know what. You're not a detective. You're not a police person. You're not any of this. So don't stay in your lane.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. And I, you know, I definitely, if I was there and I had that camera and I had that microphone, I can't say, like, in my mind, I think that's not a good idea. But when you're live on the air, you have a producer in your ear who has a producer on a phone who has an executive that's watching the TV. Mm-hmm. So if you don't do something right, then that phone call gets to the control room, which gets to your earpiece, and right. you got to correct yourself. Right. So I think that I don't know where it was in the editorial process that somebody thought that was a good idea. But somebody going to lose their job.
Right.
Like, that's
or
just
not.
The bottom line.
Or I don't think they will.
Really?
I think until the backlash grows, mm-hmm. no one's going to lose their job.
Yeah.
Because they got people talking.
They did. And they got, you know, people were watching.
People turned off the local Fox News across the street on 6th Avenue.
You know, and I don't, as reporters, we are trained to get the information. We are supposed to go in those places that people don't go to. I remember they sent me into a homeless shelter. I mean, you're supposed to go mm-hmm. where people don't have access, and you're supposed to right. show the story. But I think there's a way that could have been done. You know, it could have been a 5 p.m. package. But again, we're talking about the 24-hour news cycle. Right. Get it out. And I see from that perspective, you have an opportunity. You have an exclusive shot into this, you know, into this home. Mm-hmm. You could find all kinds of great stuff.
Right.
You know, I don't think that's what they did. I think they, you know, pointed to a bunch of crons. And
now, if they start selling it, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, well, right. That's a whole different thing. That's holding. So,
and don't think it's not coming.
You know, cable news networks that decided to air people's dirty laundry literally on television. Y'all go ahead and all right. You have anything for Stay in Your Lane, girl, before we go to the next segment?
I mean, I guess my Stay in Your Lane piece is kind of related to the San Bernardino incident as well, just because it hit so close home for me. I went to school 20 minutes away from San Bernardino. The college year was our sister school, and it was just weird. The news came, and I was like, oh, my goodness, too many people I know are there. Crazy. But the thing that was weird for me was, and I think everyone had this sentiment, was, you know what, we can stop with the prayers and the thoughts and the this kind of.
Yeah, that was a big thing, too.
Let's be spiritual and just kind of send positive energy. And it's like, yo.
But we're not going to talk about guns, though.
Right. Like fuck all that. We are so past positive energy right now. Like, real change needs to happen. Like,
when there was a huge.
Yesterday, you know what I mean?
Huge kind of brouhaha. Prayer shaming. I'd never heard that phrase before. And, you know, my mind, like, yeah, prayer shaming.
There are people who want that. There are people who want them. Who are, you know, your praying grandma.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to go in the bedroom, you know, like that song, Come On In The Room. Listen to it. It'll give you life.
I think I understand people deal with things in right. whatever way helps them. And I understand a lot of people turn to religion, and I'm not knocking that. But I think we can't use religion as a solution to fix our societal problems.
Right.
Now, go ahead.
If we were, we would be ISIS.
Right. Well, and if it worked, then we wouldn't have the problems, because religion's been around a long time.
Right. I'm saying, like, when people say that, like, prayer and positive energy is not doing anything, it's not an attack on your religiosity or your faith or anything like that. It's just you guys have got to stop operating in this magical realm of possibilities right. and get back to reality and say we need to actually do something concrete and something that's actually real to fix this problem, not just send up some blessings that people aren't sure mm-hmm. if it's even going to happen, you know what I mean?
No.
Right. We need more than Dr. Jesus, basically.
We need, yes, we need Congress to do some stuff. We need laws. We need society to see guns as different. We need society to see guns differently. I think that's where we are.
That's going to be another episode. We need to discuss that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think we're ready for that. But anything else? Stay in your lane. Go ahead. All those people, just. Stay in your lane. Stop swerving. That's really all I got to say about that. But coming up later on in the show, we are going to get to know Chinwe a little bit better. We're also going to talk about our thoughts and reflections on where we are with the HIV/AIDS fight. It's something that's very important in our community, and we're just going to spend some time talking about it as we are over the course of the next month. And we're also going to talk about The Wiz and all the other motherfucking shows that was on this past couple weeks, because it's been crazy, y'all. So we'll be back in just a moment right here on Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. Check us out on the web at www.radiofreebrooklyn.com. That was Ease On Down the Road from The Wiz, live recording on NBC. Yes! Gave us all life this past week, and we're going to talk about it later on. But we are discussing the commemoration of World AIDS Day, which happens every year on December 1st. And we're going to have some coverage over the next few weeks looking at different aspects of the AIDS crisis across our country. But I think it's been such a really interesting time right now in our society, because we see so many different things happening. We see the advent of a drug that could revolutionize, is revolutionizing how we are engaging sexually. We're seeing new understandings of the virus and the disease that make us more, hopefully, more understanding of people that are living with HIV. Not necessarily, but hopefully. I think we're at a place now where we're having conversations, but we still have a lot to go through. I'm curious to know, you guys, what your thoughts are on just kind of how we're looking at HIV/AIDS now, as opposed to maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Well, I don't know. I think it's interesting that this, Charlie Sheen kind of came out with his announcement maybe a week or two before. And I think with that announcement or running up to that announcement, a lot of people were thinking, oh, my goodness, like, because no one knew who this A-list celebrity was that was going to come out and say he had HIV. But everyone was kind of like, well, if this is a white male with HIV, then the tides are going to change drastically. You know what I mean? Like, everyone is going to be all of a sudden, oh, my goodness, we have to do something about HIV. We have to do something about AIDS. This person is going to be our new spokesperson. Everything is going to change and all this and all that. But the thing about it is, I guess what I'm thinking is that, and maybe this is just completely too late to even say this because it's happened, but it shouldn't take a white male for change like that to happen. Whether it's going to happen or not, I don't know. That's up for debate. It is Charlie Sheen. You can have your own thoughts
and
on
it's,
that.
Yeah. No.
We were there for that.
So, you know, what I've noticed is I work in marketing communications, so I'm always looking at messaging. And so for so long, the messaging about HIV/AIDS was black and brown. Whenever you saw an advertisement, you saw a black and brown person.
Are you gaining weight because of your HIV medication?
Yeah, you know, and you never saw, like, so from that regard, I'm kind of pleased to see that there's a, you know, a white face of HIV. When, you know, if you think about Ryan White, who's one of the more notable, you know, people that had HIV or had AIDS and passed away from AIDS, and the Ryan B. Foundation and the laws for HIV/AIDS treatment are named after him. And, you know, I think that in this country, we know that sometimes things don't get noticed unless there's
a
white face.
Well, you know, he was the baby Jessica of HIV. I mean, let's
right. You know, and I think that now I think it's important that we talk about the fact that this exists in all communities. We can't forget that it's prevalent in communities of color because of lack of access to healthcare and social stigmas and all these things.
Right.
But everybody is susceptible to HIV.
Right.
Whether you're black, white, or brown, gay or straight, you know, whatever. You can, it takes one time, one sexual encounter that's unprotected.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of where we need to go, in my opinion, and stop, you know, looking at it as a gay disease or
right.
a slutty disease or this, that, and the other. Because I know straight people who have gotten it that are not slutty, that, you know, didn't use intravenous drugs. They had an encounter and they were with a person that they cared about. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in that. Here in New York, I think it's really interesting because there's a lot more I don't want to say that there's a lot more energy towards eradicating HIV, but Governor Cuomo just announced a major funding plan to help reduce infection rates or spreading of the virus. There's a new testing plan here in the city of New York where if you meet certain criteria, they'll send you a test kit to your house. And so I think that there are a lot of programs that are trying to work to, you know, get the infection rate down to zero or stop transmission of HIV. But people are still getting, getting the virus.
Sadly, it works the other way around here in New York City, too.
Yeah. In what regard? Can you explain?
Okay. A good friend of ours, and I live in the Bronx, so I see this a lot. In New York, you can get subsidized housing and a stipend if you're HIV positive and on Medicaid. And there was an article that came out, and I've seen this before, that young kids, and it just strains me so much, that young kids are resorting to getting HIV.
Like bug chasing?
Yeah, okay. And not taking their meds to get to a certain T-cell count because that's the way they're getting housing.
Certain benefits. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I've seen it. I know. And there are certain – the stigma's not there. You know, I hate to say this because this – also help increase the stigma, but I remember growing up and it was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Fear works.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to talk about this, but fear works, and that kept a lot of people. Now they don't fear it.
I think people still fear it. I think what one thing is changing is that with PrEP into the conversation, yeah. there are a lot more people that now don't have that worry. And when I've interviewed people that are using PrEP, that's one of the big things they say. It's like, now I don't have to worry. I don't necessarily think that's accurate because HIV is not the only disease,
right.
the only sexually
it
transmitted.
It comes with friends.
It does. No, her sister's gonorrhea, chlamydia is not fun neither.
Syphilis.
Siffy, herpes. No. And I think that we have to, you know, and part of the PrEP education, I don't want to dwell too much on PrEP because I really do think it's landmark. It's groundbreaking for what it can do for queer people and for anybody that likes sex and just wants to not have that stigma or worry about HIV. But I think that people don't take all of the education to heart. You know, there's a huge treatment plan. There's a rigorous kind of protocol that you have to follow. And a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people, I don't want to make that speculation, but it seems like people don't necessarily follow all parts of it. And that's what
it's a lot. It's a lot to do. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap.
No.
It's not cheap. And from a friend, I just had a friend who passed from complications earlier this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cheap. Like, those meds. And my mom's like, I don't understand how he couldn't. You know, they have all those meds out now. I'm like, well, if you have access to them.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, it's just getting the paperwork. And if you don't know how to navigate Medicaid
and bureaucracy
and insurance. And it's
you really need a caseworker a lot of times to get through all of that.
If you don't have access to all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, I want to say, oh, there's all these things that are available to you. They're not as easy to find.
I mean, you do – it does take some looking. I know in the city of New York there are plenty of resources.
Yeah.
And for the most part, in major metropolitan areas, if you go to a health center or an LGBT center, they'll be able to direct you to the right place or even an LGBT student center. So, you know, the recommendation always is to get tested, to know mm-hmm. your status,
first,
to make sure that you are doing it regularly. You know, getting tested every 5 years is not enough. Get tested as regular as your sexual activity is. If you're a high-risk person, meaning you're having sex often with multiple partners, then you want to get tested every 3 to 6 months. You know, if you're a person that is in a relationship or your sexual encounters are less than maybe 6 months to a year. But get tested regularly, know your status, talk about HIV and STDs with your partners. You know, that's how we start eradicating it. And listen, and don't just, you know, try to think of how can I be the safest and take care of myself in the best way possible. I mean, I think that's the only way, you know, that we can try to help to end, you know, this alarming disease that's taken so many people from our community. All right, on that note, I think it's time for a little bit of music, and then we're going to come back and we're going to get to know our co-host Chinwe a little bit. You're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. We'll be back in just a moment.
No, darling. The magic is inside you. If you believe within your heart, you know that no one can change the path that you must go. Believe what you see and know you're right, because the time will come around when you say it's yours. Believe that you can go home. Believe you can float away. Then click your heels three times. If you start, believe in the magic right there in your heart. Believe all these things, not because I told you so. But believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Make sure to take Queer Minded with you wherever you go. Subscribe to our feed at radioqueerminded.com/QSOM. Or find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and other popular podcast networks. Just search for Radio Queer Minded. Now, let's get back in a queer state of mind.
All right, we're back live on Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Queer State of Mind. I'm Ori Givens. Before we get on with the rest of our show, I want to make sure you know about an awesome contest that's happening right here. Radio Free Brooklyn's All-Borough Holiday Scavenger Hunt launches next Saturday, Saturday, November 28th, and we're already going on. Between now and December 12th, listen to Radio Free Brooklyn for clues on where to find scavenger hunt items. You can find them at local businesses throughout Brooklyn, and the person who collects the most items will win the grand prize of a brand new Mossy single speed bike from Velo Brooklyn Bike Shop. There will also be two runner-up prizes and swag awarded daily, but you have to play to win. Prizes will be awarded during Radio Free Brooklyn's holiday party at Beast of Bourbon, 710 Myrtle Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11205 on Saturday, December 12th from 2 to 6. Stay tuned for today's clue and just a moment right here on Queer State of Mind. So, hey, Chinwe, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey.
Yes. How are you?
We're back. Radio Free Brooklyn, Queer State of Mind. How y'all doing?
We good.
We're doing all right, yeah.
We real good.
Yes, real good. Getting our mimosas in. Today's show is sponsored by Mimosa, because why not?
It's brunch, ain't it?
Right? Because it's brunch, ain't it? Yes. I feel like we should seek, like, alcohol sponsorship. I think somebody would get a really lucrative, like, you know, I think maybe we'll look on that. We'll look on that. So, Chinwe.
Yes.
Is joining our Queer State of Mind team. Chinwe and I met in journalism school at the City University of New York, Graduate School of Journalism.
Yes, Beavers.
Yes, yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself, girl.
I guess, I don't know, I'm Chinwe. I'm originally from California at the Bay. I don't know. What else do you want to know?
So how long have you been in New York?
I've been in New York for 2 years. I'm going on my third year. Okay. Came out here specifically for school. No, that's a lie. I came out to New York because I wanted to get away from California, and school was my way out.
Yeah.
So
preach.
We all know this game.
We all know this game.
Right. So that's why I'm here. And I'm out here. Yeah.
So what are you doing out here in New York?
Freelancing and trying to make it, trying to make my dreams come true. You know. So
I know that's right. What type of reporting do you do? What are you focused on?
I like to report mostly on music, film, and television, pop culture kind of shit, stuff like that. Mostly, I've been doing more criticism lately.
Because there's a lot to critique.
There's a lot to have an opinion on. Yeah. And that's even another.
We tend to get, like, because there's so much, I mean, we love entertainment, we love pop culture, but then there's so much misrepresentation and poor representation that it's just, there's always something to talk about. Like,
right. This
is the first time, I think, with The Wiz that there was like, oh my gosh, this is actually a positive representation of our people?
Right.
I love it. No, maybe Sense8. Sense8 was a good one, too.
Sense8 was really good.
Sense8
oh, my
was
God.
So good. Oh, Sense8 was everything. Yes, everything. So we're so happy to have you, Chinwe, joining
us. Yes, thank you.
Yes. What show? You got your Twitters, your Facebook? You want to let people know how to get a hold of you?
My Twitter is @WaysOfTheChin. And I think that's all I'm going to leave you guys with right now.
Yes, get a hold of her, tweet her, all that stuff. One more question for you. So what do you think are the big issues facing queer people of color right now? What would you like to see us talk about here on Queer State of Mind?
I don't know. I think with most minority communities is the fact that there's no, I mean, in terms of representation, there's no, we're not represented as dynamic people. Like, we don't, like, we're not complicated human beings. Like, we're just very much stuck in this kind of one, I don't know, this.
One-dimensional.
One-dimensional kind of static kind of personalities. And it's like, no, queer people are much more than that. And if you would just take the time to speak to one of them or I don't know. I don't like that people are kind of put in this box. And I think that's an issue.
No, I think that's something that we always talk about. We want to see our full selves. We want to see realness in how our characters are portrayed.
Well, I don't want to see realness. I want to see real.
Well, yeah. That's right. I want to see real. I want to see actual. I want to see what's going on.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, something that we're seeing more of, but we always need more of. So hopefully we'll be able to bring you some of that stuff right here on Queer State of Mind and on the Queer Minded Radio Network.
Yes,
for your love and support of queer people of color worldwide, baby. So
East Coast, West Coast, worldwide.
East Coast, West Coast, worldwide. So we gonna listen to a little bit more of music from The Wiz. Hopefully I can get this to work, so I had to switch input. So we just gonna see it. But you're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Now, thank you.
Can you feel a brand new day? I'm not like The Wiz. I can't sing like that, but that's just how that makes me feel, right?
Can we talk about this? That man that hit the first, that had the first line that everybody look up.
Yeah.
Because okay, when black people are on Broadway, the way we know how to hit our marks, and the way we smile something like that, it's almost coonish.
Mm-hmm.
Like ha.
There, okay, so no, to that point, there was that one, The Lion, David Alan Grier had just finished when, you know, his thing with the poppies, right?
Right?
And he just turns and he gives the camera, and this was one of the times that the camera actually hit the right mark.
Yeah.
And he just gave a face. It was a close up and it was just like, yes. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like that was
Negroes on TV.
Yes. Hashtag Black on TV. Yes. Well, it's like, too, it's like, I know when
all
I have
the teeth are out.
Right. If I have a good live shot or something, I have a, like, you know, I'm just like, yes. You know, it's just, you feel good. Like, they know that they got that. They know that they got
the
that.
The way the dude's like, everybody look like, yes. Arms are out.
Yeah. Give him that face. Give him that face. Give him them hands. Yes.
Like, yes.
So, you just heard Brand New Day from the wonderful, fabulous, glorious, breathtaking The Wiz NBC. Now, you know, there was a lot of criticism. It wasn't perfect.
No.
But
no.
Can I just say, they had a bunch of beautiful black people on that stage, honey.
And let me tell you, like, this morning I was up and I was just watching clips from it and I almost started crying because I was like, this is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I seriously do not think that there have ever been that many black people on live television at one time ever.
Right.
Unless you're talking about, like, sports.
Yeah, or maybe the old Soul Train Award. Even those were recorded.
Yeah, those are recorded. They typically don't let black people go live.
And you know, to be fair, I mean,
listening to this show, you wonder why.
Right. We all watch the Source Awards for the fight.
Right.
We all do. It's like figure skating. Like, we watch it and see something.
Well, you like the drama. You like the drama. But, okay, so the Wiz. What did you love about it?
My cousin Uzo.
Yes, yes, yes. Miss Chinwe is also Nigerian. Yes,
yes. Yes. So, and all Nigerians are related, so that's my cousin.
Yeah, they are.
And,
yeah, they are.
This is not the first time I've heard this.
No.
Right, so that was my favorite part.
She did it for me. Like, I really liked, I think, all the musical performances. There wasn't one that I really disliked. There were some that I'm like,
Neo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, they were all kind of at this level of, okay. And then, like, she just took it, like, to, like, 110. Like, it was just, and I just didn't, like, I'd heard her sing before, but I didn't just expect that voice, that fullness.
Well, the way she was faking that belt, it was amazing. Yeah. Like, yes! You were fake like you were a big singer. Like, you
right,
know it.
Right.
Good for you. That's called
right.
acting.
She at least
that's
tried, but, like.
That's called acting through
people
singing.
People that don't know was like, oh, yeah, she bringing it. People like, okay, well. But yes, you bringing it, right?
You know, drop the jaw a little bit, you know. But
there was this one she was trying to do, like, a rise, and it was just like.
And it didn't work.
It did not work.
And she tried to do a run instead. Good for you, girl.
Improvise. It's live,
good
honey.
For you.
It's live.
Do that. Honey,
but what
know your limits.
I think what I love Fatima, girl, the choreography was everything.
It's theatrical choreography. It's like, okay, you've seen her do video.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen her do the Dream Girls.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do a theatrical choreography, and some of that was just movement.
Yeah.
And not even just dance. That's what they call, like, Michael Bennett. It's just movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even that was great. Like, she knew how to choreograph for the medium. People would say, oh, it's generic. There's nothing pedestrian about this. She was choreographing for the medium,
no.
And that's what people will keep forgetting.
I mean, in a way, she filled the stage, and the way it just, like, different. You could tell, like, through the dance, the different phases you were in the, like,
and you're comparing
experience.
This to Ailey.
Let's
actually talk about that.
Like, you're comparing this to, like, that iconic, those kicks,
mm-hmm.
and Can You Feel the Brand New Day in the movie, or the poppies of that ass slap.
Yeah.
Nice, gap, 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 pow! I'm like, yes! You better be prostitutes.
Them poppies, girl. Them poppies.
Well, the poppies are always kind of the winner.
Yeah. No, they did.
Okay,
the
tornado was late. Let's discuss this.
The tornado. Okay. So I thought, like, conceptually, I thought the tornado was very cool.
Well, the tornado, okay, it's my favorite song, like, musically of that score. Mm-hmm. I love the tornado. It's a good, you can walk to it, you can vogue to it. It's a disco number.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they could have done more with that.
Yeah.
Like, you just hear this, ha, skun, 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 skun.
No, I could see
there.
It was
there.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Like, because I think for me, it wasn't one of the most memorable scenes. Visually, yes, but, like, kind of
it
the whole experience,
been.
It wasn't.
I think I should have been a more memorable scene. It's a ballet. It's,
yeah. Oh, I could definitely see that. I know. What about the Emerald City scene?
Can I tell you, like, if this came out just before Halloween, how many
we would have all been dressed up like Emerald City. Yes. I'd have been going to get my green fabrics right now.
Right.
And might do it next year. It's going to be on Broadway, won't it? We can still
do it. Yeah, 2016 is the late season.
Mm-hmm. Because I... Baby.
Yeah, because I love, okay. And I was wondering as I kept playing the Facebook, are they going to do the original ballet from the musical, the ballet, or are they going to do the Emerald City sequence, which I was waiting for because I live for that I want to be seen in green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all would just walk around a circle. This is everything.
Yes.
But I think if you were to do that scene now, it had to be that.
Yeah.
It had to be straight up like...
Club Vogue. Kid. Yeah. It's like, Vogue. I think it was just so great because I watched it. Like, I had another event, so I had to watch it late, which it was not one of those events that you wanted to not watch live because everybody was watching
your
it.
Your Facebook
at
feed
time.
Is just like,
your Facebook feed, everything.
Slay,
Twitter.
Bitch, slay.
Yeah. So, like, I had already pretty much seen a bunch of stuff before I actually turned it on.
Yeah.
And one of the things that people were talking about was that scene. But even though I knew it was coming, even though, like, I could kind of visualize it in my mind, seeing it live on the air just took me to a place.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, bitch, we here. Like,
absolutely.
We is here. Like,
and
it's
not only are we here, the gays are here.
The gays are here, the black gays. It's like, we not invisible. We not just doing the costumes now.
Right.
Like,
we're not
on
directing.
The stage.
We're not composing the score anymore.
Yeah.
We're not.
It was really, you know, after the year, I actually posted this on Facebook, like, after the years recently with how devalued we feel black bodies have become, like, it was good to see a celebration of blackness and black
so
culture.
Much blackness.
So much blackness.
Different like, type of blackness,
we
too.
We probably won't have no more blackness on NBC till next Christmas. I don't know. They've maxed out.
Like this is what you're getting. Like, we understand, you know, Cosby's gone. And we're going to give you this. This is your consolation prize,
she
black
went
people.
There. Oh, she went there.
This is your black people, you know.
We got you.
You know, Debbie, you know, I'm surprised Debbie Allen didn't just show up in there. Like, you know,
I know, right? She could have just walked across the stage.
Right.
She honestly could
have. She had been in there somewhere.
All she had to do was just, it's Debbie Allen. She's
right.
Like, I'm going to do you give you a 12 o'clock kick. And
she must have been in like some, she must have been contractually not able to do because I can't
imagine.
Like,
no, but yeah, because I don't.
I know she's in an NBC or ABC contract.
Yeah,
like, she's on Shondaland.
Yeah, Shonda ain't getting written like no. Debbie Allen, bitch. We got this. come on, home, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the direction was a little off. Like, I think some of the pacing.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into what we didn't like because there were a couple things that I didn't like. We were saying about the pacing.
You know, Kenny Leon is a perfectionist, but I've never been a fan of his directing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least for like. Anything other than theater.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very deliberate pacing, and I think it felt a little staccato.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I nitpick, and I'm a theater geek, so.
The first 10 to 15 minutes, I feel, were just like a snail's pace.
And it should be, because you're in Kansas.
Yeah.
It's supposed to feel like that.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I wanted, I guess you're used to kind of getting like drawn in right from the beginning, and that's not what that's supposed to do. And I recognize that.
It's a slow burn.
It was definitely like I had to readjust because it was not what I expected,
and
I hadn't seen it in so long.
Yeah, prof the Harvey Firestein,
Firestein, something like that.
For reworking some of the book.
Yeah.
Because and he even said like, you know, let's answer the question: what happened to Dorothy's parents? We don't know. He's like, yeah, they're an accident. Okay, one line.
Mm-hmm.
All you need.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Answer questions answered.
What happened to Toto?
I'm okay with that.
I didn't really miss him, but apparently the internet did.
Yeah.
My whole timeline was like, the memes that came from him.
The memes.
That is always my favorite part of any event is the memes.
Right.
Because
the memes
internet just goes in. And like it, I mean, oh. Like there's a whole bunch of them where they were like comparing like the Wizard of Oz versus the Wiz.
The Kraft macaroni and cheese.
But that baked macaroni and cheese. You had that struggle chicken and you had the fried chicken
right.
in the corner.
Ooh.
I was like, they are really like the clapback is just real. Like, no, y'all can't. So for me, the one thing that I really like, I took issue was, and this is, you know, just my television mind, the camera shots weren't
where
they needed
to be. That was exactly my problem as well.
They were like, you could see the camera in the frame. Like, girl, really?
Well, there was, you know, at the end when they did like, I can't remember which song it was, but I think when they, about before they, like, sent Queen Latifah away, like, mm-hmm. they did a big number, and then they had
y'all
cranes.
Y'all got it?
Yeah, they had cranes. But they hadn't seen cranes for the whole show.
Right.
And, like, I needed to have those wide aerials. Like, right. for it to be a musical, like, you're used to seeing the box of the theater. Like, you're yeah. used yes. to seeing everything in its frame, and that mm-hmm. frame, every, you know, everything is within the frame. Like, we're not used to having frames created for us of various yeah. parts of the thing. And I mm-hmm. feel like sometimes they weren't where I wanted to be as
yes,
a viewer.
Yes, no, absolutely, yeah.
And that's completely understandable.
Yeah. I mean, they needed, like, I would have liked it more. Like, I understand that you want to get into the details, and that's great, but I needed to see more of the scene. Like, I feel right. like there were very limited wides. There were very limited, like, you know, I love when you take a good crane shot and you just whip it around so that, mm-hmm. like, you get, like, that kind of pseudo, like, 180 kind right. of feeling. And I feel like that's what we needed, especially with those dance numbers, because I wanted to be up in their feet. Yeah. I wanted right. to be, like, in the movement, like,
and that's the thing that was the problem for me was the cameras, because the whole time I was trying to make sense of what were they trying to do with
what
this
are they
camera
trying to show
because
us? Yeah.
It's not computing for me. So
no, I agree. That was really, sometimes it made it hard to follow.
Right.
But most of the time I think it was okay. But there were definitely a couple times where it was a little hard to follow. And it was a really hard to kind of get the, I guess it was really hard to get the message of what yeah. they were trying to show.
Okay.
Anything else? Anything
Stephanie
else
Mills, the elder stateswoman of the show. She yes. came out and said, "Hey, just to let y'all know, I'm Stephanie Mills."
Right.
Yes.
And you're not.
I'm still here.
And you're not.
Just so you know, like, I am still.
Because she could have done that show by herself.
Honestly.
If go back and listen to the original score again.
Yeah.
You're like, well, damn, why is anyone else here on this? it's literally like.
But
like,
I do love that she was able to provide. She was still able to be a part of it. And she,
yeah,
was still
she should
to
be. And
yes.
she should be. Because
it's legacy.
They're intertwined. They'll never be separated from each other.
No, right? I don't think so. And I think her being a part of it was kind of this amazing connection from yeah. the past to the future. So
I mean, what, one thing I would say about yeah. The Wiz, so even though, like, it wasn't a perfect production,
no.
the magic of it shone, like, shined right
it's
through all
of the... It's
the
actuality. It's a...
Yeah,
yeah,
you
like,
could...
Like, you watch it and smile, and
yeah,
I miss
no,
that.
It was
it's
so
a musical.
Happy.
It's a fucking musical.
And it was so
and
amazing.
Mary J. Blige was so good.
Good
I was
the,
not
good for
expecting...
them lowering the key for her.
Yeah! Yes.
Hey, we're gonna go to the left side of the piano here and say, yeah... We're gonna put you in that slave key.
Yeah,
that,
it was
Sissy Houston key.
Well, because the first, I mean, when she first started out singing, I was not.
We were all worried.
Yeah, yeah. We were all worried.
We're all thinking crispy chicken.
I got to share that with somebody recently, and they're like, I didn't know that was like, that is the thing.
Fresh lettuce, three cheeses, ranch dressing, wrap up in a tasty
late night
tortilla, crispy chicken.
I'm about to miscue. Yeah, that happened. So fortunately, it wasn't like that. We got about a minute left. Queen Latifah playing the Wiz, yay or nay?
Yes, on second viewing, yes.
Okay.
But I miss Andre the Shield because he sounded like some nasally queen that's going to look at you and not spill his drink while walking.
Oh, no.
This is Sadu's line, and we miss you, Sadu, by the way.
Yes, we do miss you. XOXO, she'll be back next week.
Yes, she will. Yes. Her crazy African ass. Mm-hmm. Will we have another one to take your place, though?
We're balancing out. What about you?
What was my what?
Yay or nay on The Wiz, on Miss Latifah.
Oh, yay. The only nay I had was that her hair wasn't wrapped when they, like...
Oh, her hair should have been wrapped when she was back behind... Yeah, yeah. That hair was too late for her to just be relaxing.
But when she came out the second time with that Revlon Just For Me hair, I said,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
That's everything! Who does your hair in Emerald City? Because I need to know.
It totally... Like, she needed to have something on durag on something. Yes. Because she was just relaxing. That's not how black women work.
Well, I guess they do that when you're the Wiz.
Right. All right, guys. Well, we have hit the end of the hour. OMG. I can't believe it. Thanks so much for joining me, Chinwe and Justin. It's been great. Yes. Next week, we'll be back live on Radio Free Brooklyn at noon. So make sure to join us. And today's clue, Lucky 13. So make sure that you take that clue, Lucky 13. Follow along in our wonderful scavenger hunt because you could win an awesome bike. For everyone here at Radio Free Brooklyn, I'm Ori Givens. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week, everyone.
Hey. We're
State of Mind is produced by the Queer Minded Radio Network, a queer people of color focused radio community. Thank you for listening. Find out more about Queer Minded Radio Network, including our other shows, news, and more on our website at www.radioqueerminded.com.